Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, welcome to Cubs PS Plus, Northside Numbers Game, a weekly podcast that dives headfirst into the analysis of hot topics driving Chicago Cubs baseball. I'm your host, Mike Waller, a lifelong Cub fan, full-time baseball stat nerd, and sometime youth baseball coach. Cubs PS Plus is part of the Bleacher Bunch Productions on the Fans First Sports Network, joining great shows like The Sun Ranto Show, Cup of Cubby Blue, and Baseball Rabbit Hole. The Bleacher Bunch feed is available wherever you get your podcasts, and Cubs PS Plus is always available ad-free to Patreon supporters at www.patreon.com/CubsPSPlus, where you can support the show and find a variety of benefits for as little as a dollar a month. In addition to the podcast feeds, you can also find me on Twitter or X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Blue Sky, and YouTube, all at CubsPSPlus, a spin on the baseball metric OPSPlus. Love the pod or hate it, please drop a review wherever it is you find your podcasts. If you've done that, thank you so much. Maybe you can share an episode with a friend. Welcome into episode 72, the Robert Machado episode of this podcast. Machado was a backup catcher for the Cubs back in 2001 and 2002, hitting three homers and driving in 18 across 74 games with the Cubs. This weekend, I sat down with Matt Cozy of the Locked On Cubs podcast and really enjoyed the conversation. We talked about the different types of preparation and perspective our shows bring, and then got into what we're looking forward to seeing from the Cubs this season, from the impact of Craig Counsell to the potential for Shota Imanaga to miss a lot of bats. We get into where we see the most variance and outcome on this team and what that could mean for the Cubs' win projections. Are you ready? I'm ready. Here we go. Hey, this week I'm thrilled to be joined by Matt Cozy from the Locked On Cubs podcast. Matt, how you doing?
Good, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm good. There's a lot going on and we're so close to the season and there are so many questions. But I know you and I both talk Cubs all the time. So let's start off. Give me a little background. Like, how did you wind up on the Locked On Cubs podcast?
Yeah, so it's definitely a bit of a story there. I started my career post-college in journalism and worked for a few years at the Iowa City Press Citizen. So I've been in the kind of the journalism landscape for a while and eventually, you know, left that and went into education, but always kept my ear and eyes open to, you know, the media scene and being a radio and podcast geek. I, you know, knew the industry pretty well and, you know, had studied it for a long time, had listened to shows and things like that. And then I started my own podcast in spring of 2020 in the thick of the pandemic. Perfect. And then a couple months after that, Sam, my good friend and now co-host of Locked On Cubs, Sam Olber and I started our own show. And this was August of 20. We did a weekly show pretty much on anything, but it was mostly Cubs and Bears. And we did it purely because we wanted to. And we were getting 60, 70 downloads a week, but we were getting a lot of reps because we were consistent. Yeah. And about 2 years in and 90 plus shows in, I started, you know, listening back to the shows and realizing, you know, this sounds good. I do wonder if one day if we can do more with this. And shortly after opening day in 2022, the Locked On Cubs host left. I knew that because I was listening to his show. I was keeping tabs on a couple of Cubs podcasts as a diehard fan, but I didn't really think anything of it. So I would check the feed every now and then, no new shows. And then June rolled around. I was teaching summer school. And finally, I said to Sam, maybe we should reach out to them and we could host the show.
Yeah, why not?
And right around that same time as I was looking for emails of people at Locked On, I had a lunch routine after summer school, and I had to just quickly do something one day about 12:30 or 1 o'clock, south side of Crystal Lake in the northwest burbs of Chicago. And I walk into this subway, and there's a dude with a Locked On podcast hat. And it's right around the same time as I'm trying to find emails. And I go, well, how do you know Locked On? He goes, oh, my name is Jack Bushman. I'm the host of Locked On Blackhawks. Wow. So, I don't believe in coincidence, Mike. It was a crazy experience. And, you know, I asked Jack, is the Cubs show still open? Do you have emails of real breathing humans that we can reach out to? And I did that afternoon. We got the ball rolling, and we've been doing the show since July of 2022.
That's amazing.
We
both have the Iowa background. I also had my undergrad degree is journalism, although I branched off into other things. I do tech now, but
yeah,
that's when I started this one up. It was fun to kind of get back to those roots a little bit, stuff I hadn't done
get
in a
back
long
to
time.
The roots, yeah.
And I did like newspaper stuff, so I never did like the radio. So this was all brand new. And one thing I've wanted to ask you about is you guys have a daily, sometimes on a weekly, especially in the off season. I don't know what the hell I'm going to talk about. During the season, I imagine your job's easier because there's basically a game every day. So you talk about what's going on. But what do you guys do to come up with topics in the off season?
Yeah, that's the main question I get from my students. And it's a lot of reading, a lot of listening, a lot of watching, you know, other content, trying to keep tabs on the team as much as you can, trying to sketch out story ideas and hypotheticals and potential transactions. We do have some reoccurring segments throughout the week that break up the time. But yeah, three segments a show, 5 days a week is definitely a commitment and requires planning. This has become a second job of mine, and I don't take it lightly at all. And so I really think it's just putting in some time. And, you know, even in an off season like this one, where it was less active,
it was torture.
You know, we somehow got through it. There is like an 8 week period where we go down to three shows.
That's true.
So
yeah,
we took advantage of that. But the last couple, you know, we've been back to the full fledged five, and, you know, with spring training helps. But yeah, it's really just doing a lot of reading. And, you know, trying to keep it as, you know, it's 20 to 30 minutes is Locked On's format. So ultimately it's not that much, but it's still to a level where you want to be thoughtful about it. And, you know, our goal has always been to try to, you know, sit in the chair and pull up to the table and just talk Cubs. And I think we've pretty much stuck to that goal. It's been fun. And,
you guys have a good rapport too. I mean, I can tell you guys knew each other from before this started, or you've been doing it long enough, one of the two.
But yeah, I appreciate you saying that. Yeah. I think that's been one of our separators, because this Cubs space is pretty solid. I would say it's solid and then some, you know, with the amount of shows and writers and options out there. And, you know, the information is important, but I think the entertainment is as well. And so I think people have gravitated to Sam and I and our relationship and positivity or lack thereof, if you're, you know, depending on which host you're referring to. And
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, our
nobody can tell that by listening.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's good.
Trying to be ourselves, have a good time and see what happens.
Yeah. Well, one cool thing about this space is there's so many Cubs podcasts that it makes it tough, but it also means there's so many different voices. Like, and they're different, like nobody has to be everything. Like, I'm not gonna be Sahada or, you know, Ryan Herrera doing beat coverage. I don't compete with the Ian Happ Compound podcast.
Right.
Just everybody brings something a little bit different. There are a lot of cool voices out there. So it's fun and great to have you on.
Yeah.
Let's get to the Cubs a little bit. I noticed you guys have had more guests lately, I think, than you had before. And one that popped off to me is I'm not the only podcast that loves Miles Mastroboni.
That's right. Yes. You do like him a lot. And you tweet about him as well.
How'd you guys wind up getting him on the show?
Yeah. So he has a connection to Sam.
Oh, cool.
And so that's how that happened. Our first ever guest was Matt Mervis.
Yes, I do remember that one.
And we were able to track down his number through a listener. And so we've had four total guests, and two of them were this week.
The last two episodes, right?
Yeah, Lance Brozdowski and Cole Wright.
Yeah, those are good ones.
Yeah, I think a possible next step for the show is to do that more. We made a conscious decision to get off the runway, just Sam and I.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's paid off, but I also, at the same time, think there's a path to having people on and maybe leveraging a relationship with Marquee or the Score. So we'll see as that evolves. But, you know, even if it's once a month, so one episode out of 20, I think would be a good goal for this season to have somebody on.
I love having guests on because then I don't have to just sit and talk for 45 minutes. But
hosting is no joke.
No, it's not. But it's
I don't know if I would want to do it, honestly.
It's a completely different situation. Like, on the one hand, I'm on my own schedule, so I publish whenever I want. But to your first point, if you're not regular, you don't grow an audience. So you got to be out there. And coming up with stuff to say, especially in an off season like this, like, at least you and Sam can get on and banter a little bit. And I just kind of like, what crap am I going to make up today? But it's fun. It's the reps behind the mic. I mean, this is probably going to be episode 73.
That's a lot.
Maybe 72. But it's a lot. But it's really helped me watch the Cubs in ways I haven't followed them before, because I've been a huge Cubs fan my whole life. Depending on stage of life, you know, small kids are in college, maybe I followed them a little bit less. Mm-hmm. And get back to it. But now, like, really watching, like, I started in the summer of 2022 when the team was awful. And yet having the podcast was a reason to go watch and see what Frank Schwindel was doing or what Rafael Ortega was doing. It was fun. But it's definitely a different world having to create content off it.
Yeah, we started a very similar times. I think you started probably, 2 weeks after us or something?
Something like that. I was definitely post All-Star break. Yeah.
Like that July, August timeline, 22. Yep. Yeah, it's been curious to follow along with the team. I agree with that more in depth. It's increased my fandom, I have to say.
I agree. Right? And now I'm following, like, I know even though I've followed the prospects before, I know them deeper than I do now. I know the bench and role players better than I do now, which means I have a lot more terrible opinions, but that's the goal, right?
Well, you put together a really nice show. I enjoy listening each episode. What is your process like in terms of building an outline every week and hitting the hits, playing the hits, so to speak, but also, you know, having more of these conversations, whether it's the data or otherwise?
Yeah. So I listen to a number of Cubs podcasts, and I try to find things that aren't being talked about everywhere else. So like when I do, I'm mostly weekly. I sometimes miss, or sometimes I'll put a couple episodes closer together.
Yeah.
But like in season, by the time I haven't, it's been a week since I recorded, there's no point in like detailed analysis of games because they're all gone. If you want it, you've heard it 50 other places. So I'll hit some of the high points. Hey, the Cubs, you know, I've had a good week since last time, or they've lost six in a row, whatever it is. But I try to find some nugget to dive into, or I've tried to find guests coming from angles. Like I've got a, here in Charlotte, there's a hitting coach that used to be a pro player. So I've had him on. I'm going to have him on again soon. Mm-hmm. There's a former pitcher at Wake who was in the Nationals organization who came through Wake at the time that they were building up their pitching infrastructure and the stuff they're famous for now. I'm going to have him on the next few weeks to talk through his experience as that was growing up. I've had like the Cubs mental skills coach. I just try to bring in something a little bit different. And then when it's just me talking, I try to find some angle on what the Cubs are doing. Like I remember one of my first ones was they had this bizarre, like, were they like 0-13 in extra inning games or something where like just dumb luck would say you're going to win 3-0, and try to get into why and try to break that down. One of my last ones without a guest was breaking down the bottom of the Cubs roster, mm-hmm. and not just like who I thought, but also kind of the thought process behind it. And, you know, do you want this kind of bench or that kind of bench? And if so, that's going to shape which guys go on it. I'll probably do that for the pitching staff maybe next week. That's kind of my process. I kind of map it out and then I just go. And sometimes I wish I was a little more detailed, but in the beginning when I started, I was actually scripting episodes.
Okay.
And I felt like I was putting way more work into scripting them. And then I also felt like I was reading them. So I didn't feel like the delivery was that great. So I found I kind of have an outline with a couple, I've got an iPad in front of me with a couple, you know, FanGraphs is always open, a couple things I'm going to talk about so I can flip and go grab the stats if I need to, if it's not in my head.
That's great.
But, it's different ball game, but let's get to the Cubs a little bit. So, what are you most excited to see this season from the Cubs?
I'm most excited to see how they rebound from falling just short. You know, yeah. they finished one game and out in the standings. I guess technically it was two games, right? Mm-hmm. If you include tiebreakers. So, you know, they for the most part are running it back, but also not. You know, I get that narrative, but you know, we are recording here on Thursday evening, and a few hours ago, Shota Imanaga pitched really well. He wasn't mm-hmm. on the team last year. Cubs did not have a pitcher last year who could miss bats like him. They didn't.
No.
So them running it back, I think, is actually not true. Yes, there's a lot of the same players, but I'm excited to see how the new ones, Imanaga, Neris, and Bush especially, in addition, the prospect parade that's awaiting in Des Moines mm-hmm. and Franklin that are going to complement the current core, the Haps, the Swansons, Suzuki, Alzolay, Hendrick, Steele, et cetera, Horner. You know, how are these dudes all going to come together? And, you know, what in their system, in the Ivy system, I wish I could be a fly on the wall to know what Ivy is spitting back as a win total for this year,
yeah.
because right now most of the books have 84.5. That does not seem unfair, but that is only a 1.5 difference from last year when they just missed out. So to give yourself some elbow room, you have to think they have to hit the over if they want to make the postseason. But I'm excited to see the rebound, I'm calling it. And, what does that mean, especially with a new manager in the dugout? You know, that's the other thing about this offseason, Mike, was for as much inactivity as there was, I was always comforted by Craig Counsell.
Yeah,
I would just go back to November 6th. Wow, what a great feeling that day. Mm-hmm. And that was a shrewd move by Hoyer, but, you know, the dominoes have fallen slowly from there. You know, I think Bellinger coming back was significant, and I'm excited for them to roll out the ball on March 28th.
Yeah, one of the things for me, and you brought up a good point, was the idea of them rolling it back. I think people say that because they look at the team that finished the season.
Right.
But I think where the Cubs lost was, and you guys have talked about it, but the first 2 months of last season when you had opening day, you came with two outfielders. You were misusing Mancini, Wisdom, and Mastroboni. You had dead weight with Torrens and Rios on the roster that I only say dead weight because they were never used. So it was literally dead weight. The team they're going to open with opening day this year is far better than the team they opened with last year.
You're right.
It may not be miles ahead of the team that finished, but it's way better than the team that started.
Way better.
And when That's people talk about the other reason I'm excited about Imanaga is they talk about, well, can he really replace Stroman? Because Stroman was so good. Stroman only gave a half a season.
Yeah. Ultimately, he did. Yeah.
So if you look at his total contribution, it's not some ace level pitcher to replace.
Yeah. And the first 50, 60 games last year proved detrimental, starting in like July.
Yeah.
And so to the last day, that's a grind.
Yeah. I mean, we were seeing numbers from what, like mid June through at least Labor Day. They were playing on like a 95 win pace.
Yeah, I would always backtrack it either to, there was a date.
June 7th or something like that.
Yeah, but then also July 18th.
Yes.
The pace from like July 18th through the Giants sweep in September was crazy.
That was the last game I went to was Labor Day when Steele threw that gem. That was so cool to be there.
Yeah.
But so you look back and, you know, if they have Mike Tauchman up in mid-April.
Where was he?
Yeah. And I don't know how you start with two outfielders. That was the one thing.
It's so weird.
I tend to not be super critical because I know that like Jed and Ross, they have way more info than I do. So they're making decisions for reasons, but that's one that never made sense to me. Mm. And while I was not a huge Ross critic, and I would say even the bullpen usage, he didn't handle it well, but it also was, he was not given a great bullpen.
Right. He was.
Council was still a clear upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah. Clear upgrade. I do think Ross was hamstrung by the pen in many ways. Mm-hmm. Even to open the campaign, like we're talking about, but there's no Hosmers, Mancini, Barnhart, Torrens.
That's what gets me now. So we talk about, I know you guys talk about Montgomery a lot and I'm
all which I think we're done. I think we're done with now, but yes.
Yeah. I think at this point, even if they sign him, he's not gonna be ready for the first week or two of the season. But you know, when you're looking at the roster, if they were to like looking at Carl Edwards Jr., looking at Garrett Cooper, want to bring in one of those non-roster invitees, there's not an obvious guy on the 40 to cut.
Yeah, I would have to get my spreadsheet out. I actually did a little bit of that this afternoon, Mike, with we updated the roster for Friday's episode again.
Okay.
In the second segment. That's true. Yeah. Not only would Garrett Cooper, so like the main three I'm looking at right now are Cooper, Smith, and Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
maybe
not only
Escobar would, in the bullpen.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's true. I did have him on my sheet today. Yep. So four guys that not only would have to be added to the opening day roster, but they have to be on the 40 man first.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's more difficult decisions than they anticipated. Smith brings a lefty profile of power that maybe you want to test drive out of the gate against righties as the DH if Morel's at third. And then mm-hmm. you make changes as the game goes, especially those last couple innings. If you want Madrigal at third or something like that, if he's healthy. More Mastro, yeah. And then is there a chance Cooper actually puts Wisdom out of a job, at least with the Cubs? Maybe, if they think he's better at hitting left-handed pitching. And then, yeah, Edwards and Escobar, I think, bring good resumes, and they've pitched pretty well this spring to get the last bullpen spot or two. I thought all offseason that really there was going to be no bench competition and maybe a bullpen spot mm-hmm. or two. But as it turns out, I think Jed Hoyer and Craig Counsell, you know, they probably are visiting the whiteboard there at the facilities in Sloan because sketching out this roster based on a couple scenarios, I think it's going to come down to the 11th hour.
Yeah. And I don't want to put too much on, you know, spring training is a small sample size and everybody's ramping up. And but it's still a good problem to have because you look at Owen Casey and Matt Shaw and all the kids that were up
good.
And like it's a competition. And that's why it's a tough decision, not because eight guys are looking terrible.
Right. I hope Hap is ready for opening day. It sounds like he will. And then they said today Madrigal's progressing. But maybe that's the path where these guys make the team is that there's some injuries. I hope not. But healthy competition is really truly is a good thing.
Yeah, because it sounds like they're going to put Killian on the 60-day. So there's one 40-man spot.
So there's one spot.
It's going to go somewhere. But then you're probably talking trades. Madrigal, Wisdom, those guys are too good to just release.
Yes. Yeah, I think you could get a little bit of value for them.
A couple double A prospects or something, a couple low level guys, something like that for sure.
Yes, I think so.
But it's going to be, I never thought that we'd be this, I guess I should have known with how the offseason went, but I didn't think we'd be this close to opening day and be this unclear on what the bottom of the roster might be like.
Yeah, because I just thought the bench was going to be Amaya, Wisdom, Talkman, and Madrigal or Mastro.
Yeah.
And, it turns out that maybe there's some more decisions to make. So,
and on the bullpen side, you have a bunch of guys that don't have options.
So, including Yency Almonte. Do you think he makes it?
I think he will to start, but then he might have a short leash.
Short leash, yeah.
Because that entire trade was for Michael Busch.
Right.
But it's still not a great look if you give up Jackson Ferris and the relief pitcher you got doesn't make your opening day roster.
Right.
It's just not a great start.
No. Yeah, I guess optics, that would be unfortunate. But yeah, I think the tendency for these teams is to start out of the gate with veterans. Mm-hmm. But shoot, Luke Little, I have him now, two roster projections. I have him in.
Looked good. He looked good in the September call-up too.
He did. He's been great this spring. Again, not too much on the spring results, but you know, these last couple spots, you got to pass some sort of eye test.
Yeah.
I'm glad there's competition. And, you know, what will the Coopers and the Smiths and the Peraltas, would they accept an assignment to Des Moines? Because that would really help out the Cubs. But, you know, they're probably likely just to walk.
Well, I know for sure Cooper and Smith have opening day opt-outs.
Right.
So if they're not, but doesn't mean they will, but it means they could.
They could.
I would assume Peralta might not because he came to camp injured, so they might have a little bit more runway with him. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure most of the pitchers are the same way. Edwards is a guy that maybe because of his Cubs ties, if he doesn't somehow make it in, maybe he sticks around and gives it a month.
Right.
But he'd be a cool story. I'd love to have him back. I liked him so much the first time around.
I think he's going to make it too. I really do.
I do too. He's looked really good. I heard he wasn't great today, but I didn't see today.
Yeah. I mean, he got hit around a little bit, but that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think right now, if it's almost like March Madness, mm-hmm. you know, Garrett Cooper's the 27th guy. Dom Smith is 28. Escobar's 29.
Yep.
They're right there.
And, you know, a couple of those guys could be competing with Talkman, except that Council's already said Talkman's got a spot. He'd be a guy I was wondering about before.
And then I was wondering if Council, did he infer that about Wisdom during camp too? I thought I heard.
I saw a report, but it didn't have quite as much behind it as the Talkman one. But I saw that. Was it Jesse Rogers, I think, put that out?
I think it was Jesse Rogers. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of wild because he's.
That is.
And Wisdom has an option too, so he could start in Iowa. Like if you wanted to kick the tires on Cooper,
wow,
you could option Wisdom down and see what happens with Cooper and then go from there.
Maybe they should do that.
Yeah.
I think maybe
same with Madrigal too. You could do the same with Dom Smith. The problem is you'd still have to clear a 40 spot.
Well, like we talked about for Friday's show, Mike, you know, Mastro has options too.
Yep.
And so he might be on the Des Moines to Chicago shuttle during the year. But he really he brings a profile that, again, these are all good problems to have, as you said earlier. But whereas like a Cooper or a Smith or a Wisdom bring power, mm-hmm. Mastro brings something that the Cubs, I think, still lack more than not, which is pure speed.
Yes.
Do you want someone that could steal bases? Then Mastro should be on the team.
Well, and I like Nick Madrigal. I think there are probably at least six or seven teams he could just start at second base for teams and be a contact bat, hold down mm-hmm. second base.
Yeah.
But when you start looking at him on this team and the fit, you get down to those bench spots and you compare Madrigal to Mastroboni, and I'm a bit of a Mastro homer, but Mastro's a lot faster.
Right.
Their contact rate is not that different. Madrigal's better, but not by miles.
Mastro, what about a third? What do you think about him at third, though?
Madrigal's probably a touch better, but I don't think Mastroboni's bad over there.
Yeah, I don't.
But Mastroboni can play six positions. Like you can't use Nick Madrigal to fill in for an inning in left field or shortstop.
No.
Mastro also bats lefty and has a little more pop than Madrigal. So that's a tough comparison, but Miles is younger and has more options, so there is that to work with.
Yeah. So maybe the resolution is Madrigal in a different uniform by the 28th.
I've thought for a while it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think at the time they traded for him, they didn't have Dansby.
Right.
You were picturing you could put Nico at shortstop and let Madrigal go at second base. And, you know, if that 2022, if he had been healthy and could go, I kind of wonder if they necessarily would have been in the shortstop market. They probably still would have anyway. But if you could trust Madrigal's legs and he was hitting 330, it might be a totally different discussion.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty revealing what if. I hadn't thought of that.
Because that's what he was doing it with the White Sox before he got hurt. I think he was
an everyday guy.
Yeah. And it'd be a totally different offensive profile. It would be a totally different team too. So it's hard to make that comparison. But kudos to Madrigal for learning third base the way he did last year. I did not see
absolutely
that
a pleasant surprise. He quelled a lot of doubters.
The only hedge on his defense is he does a great job, but because of his arm, he does have to play more shallow than Morel yes. and Mastroboni do. So there are plays he's just not going to make because he can't be in that position.
Right. Right.
But he's not going to stack up errors either.
No, he's reliable.
So, what do you have? I think I heard the other day you're currently under on the 84.5.
Yes, I am. It's mostly. So as we talk positionally a lot on this episode, it is starting to instill some confidence in that group.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like the potential versatility and depth and the prospect parade that awaits on the positional side. But really the under right now is a result of the starting rotation. And what is the score of the game once the starter exits the game? Because Steele instills confidence in me as a fan. Hendricks does, but to a point.
Yep.
After Steele, everybody has a conjunction.
Mm-hmm.
But, or so, or you know, they all have caveats to them. All of a sudden, Smiley's going to be back in rotation. Tyone is going to miss a turn or two. You know, Wicks, love watching the kid pitch, but this is his first full year.
Yeah.
Shota Imanaga, strikeout champion this spring, but it's his first year in the bigs. So let's see how that shakes out, but that's the reason why I say under right now.
No, I can see that. And that's a high variance position. I mean, I think I don't know if he'll be a Cy Young contender, but we know we're going to get good stuff out of Steele.
Totally.
And to your point, Hendricks is reliable. He's, you know, again, he's not, this isn't 2016 Kyle Hendricks, but he can pitch.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, you know, if Imanaga does what he's doing in spring, he'll have his adjustment periods for sure. And, mm-hmm. and there'll be some workload issues later in the season. But, you know, if he's good and Wicks continues to throw like he has, maybe J-Mo comes back or maybe somebody fills in, or they can always go get somebody at the deadline.
Yeah.
there's a chance that this is a higher end rotation. And then you're probably talking in this division could be low mid 90s. But you're right. Wow. If everything goes well, which
you know, right.
But that's the variance, right? Like the starting pitching, if everybody struggles, could be I have a hard time barring major injuries, seeing this team much under 500.
Yeah, right.
But I could see them low 80s if the starting pitching struggles. Tyone can't be healthy. Imanaga has trouble adjusting. But you know, I've got him right now probably 87, 88. I haven't really sat down with it yet because I don't know what the roster is yet. It's hard to project that out. But I think now that we can be pretty sure they're not getting Montgomery. So I think now I can pretty much probably sit down and pencil it in. But that's going to be the position to watch. I think the bullpen is at least deep in arms. I think they'll be better than last year. They certainly won't have to rely on four guys the entire season.
Right.
And I think the offense and the bench looks solid. Mm-hmm. But we're kind of hitting our time limit here, but it was great having you on and love to have you back again at another point.
Yeah, let's do that again soon. It was very, very smooth. It was a great experience and I enjoy your show, Mike. And let's keep in touch and let's do it again. And I would say, you know, the first part of the season, let's do definitely. That.
Where can people find you?
Yeah, I can find me on X, which is really the only platform that I still have on social media, Matt_Cozy. And then Locked On Cubs, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, everywhere you get your podcasts.
Excellent. Well, thanks for coming on and have a great night.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks. Thank you for joining us today. If you like this episode, please drop a rating and a review wherever it is you get your podcasts and share an episode with a friend. Just a few seconds from you gives me great feedback and helps other Cub fans find the show. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, Blue Sky, and YouTube, all at CubsPSPlus. And check out the Patreon page, patreon.com/CubsPSPlus, to help support the show. As always, the theme music for this podcast is Prospect Park West by Jerry McCoy. This is Mike Waller, host of the Cubs PS Plus podcast. Every day with Cubs baseball or talking about Cubs baseball is a great day. Go Cubs!